Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the
Rise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. Great to be with you today. We've got a very special day lined up today, a day where we're going to open the telephone lines. We're going to call forth those dreamers and visionaries who are experiencing what God said would happen in the last days. Father God said in the last days he would pour out his spirit upon all flesh. His sons and daughters, the old men, the young men would dream dreams, have visions. They would be prophesying. There is a whole lot of that going on right now, as you can tell, around the world. There are pastors that are having dreams. There are housewives that are having dreams. There are men who are working out in the vehicles, who are mechanics and truck drivers, having dreams and visions. And it's happening in the spirit world among those who are looking. And maybe even it's happening in the lives of people that don't know the Lord. You know, maybe there's some stuff going on where people are just picking up and sensing, because the harvest truly is ripe and God wants to get the message out to everybody. But before we get into opening the telephone lines and go any deeper this morning, I have with me on the air today a very special man. And I call him special because we've had the opportunity to talk just a few times. And I resonate with his spirit. I could hear the Holy Spirit. This is Pastor Jeff that is going to be calling in from Virginia, Roanoke, Virginia, I believe it is. No, it's not Roanoke. I take that back. It's Falls, Virginia. And we're going to talk to Pastor Jeff in just a moment. But I want to give opportunity for our listeners to come in, because Pastor Jeff had some very interesting dreams. And I love what it says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Do not despise prophesying. So we know in the last days, when God pours out his spirit, they will prophesy. So there's a lot of prophesying going on. And the same is true with dreams and visions. I'm not going to despise prophesying. I'm not going to despise or treat lightly dreams and visions that people are happening. But we also know that they do not carry the same weight and authority as scripture does. But when dreams and visions complement the word of God, then we know it's very powerful. You know, and I know that Joseph was a dreamer. We know that both Josephs, Joseph, Jacob's son, going all the way back to the beginning in the book of Genesis. And we also know that Joseph, who was going to father Jesus Christ or to raise him up, Joseph and Mary, he also received dreams of fleeing into Egypt. And so dreams and visions and prophesying and prophetic words and revelations and epiphanies are always connected to the economy of God. They always have intrinsic value and purpose. And when God's people are not eating Twinkies, ding-dongs, and cupcakes or pizza, and they're sleeping and they're serving the Lord and they have these very real dreams, well, you know and I know that these dreams are notable. These are notable dreams that people have. And so today we're going to get into that just a little bit. We're going to talk about dreams and visions. But before we do, I want to just encourage you. This is a word for somebody, and I think that somebody may be listening right now. I don't know, but I'm trusting the Lord. God is just reminding me early this morning about how he opened the Red Sea and that the children of Israel went through. Remember, it says they were baptized unto Moses in the sea, in the cloud, right? Well, I believe that God is saying to someone out there today, maybe corporately to the ecclesia for the times that we're living in, that God is going to do supernatural things in the last days. He's going to part the seas, and he's going to bring a people forth. Yeshua, Jesus, remember when they were taking him to the edge of the cliff, and they were going to throw him down the side of a mountain, but he turned and he walked right through the midst of them? You could just imagine how that sea of humanity parted, and the Lord went right through. And God is saying to somebody today, God is going to bring you through. Do not be dismayed. Get off your knees. Cry out to God. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. That's exactly what God told Moses. He told Moses, don't you worry about it, Mo. You just get off your knees, stop fretting, and you stand still, and you will see the salvation of the Lord. And here's the word. You ready? This is for somebody. I don't know who it's for. Hopefully, maybe that individual or that corporate word, you will see your enemies no more. Oh my gosh, that is in scripture, by the way, where God said, stand still, you'll see the salvation of the Lord. As a matter of fact, I have the scripture verse, and I want to read out of Exodus 14:11, and this is when the children of Israel had come out of Egypt. They're now at the Red Sea. The Egyptian armies are coming at them. They're all kind of getting nervous. Moses is on his face. And verse 11 of Exodus 14, they said unto Moses, there's the people, because there were no graves in Egypt, you have taken us away to die in the wilderness. Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? These people were in such fear. They had no faith. They just figured Moses was a liar. He was bringing him out to die, right? And then Exodus 14:12 says, the next verse, is not this the word that we did tell you in Egypt, saying, leave us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians that we should die in the wilderness. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. Now, just prior to this, Moses was on his face because the people were going, oh my God, you brought us out here to die. Now, listen, the type and shadow is in the last days. According to the book of Revelation and Mark 13, Matthew 24, Luke 21, you know them. According to these scriptures, in the last days, God is going to be bringing a people into the mountains of Judea. He's going to be bringing a people into the desert, into the wilderness. And we have to remember while we're there, there are going to be moments where it appears that all is lost. There's no way out. We're stuck. You know, and the complaint will come. And what are you doing bringing us out here? What have I done? Listen. Learn wisdom, for so shall it be at the end as it has been revealed from the beginning. So in the beginning, and I just felt in my spirit today, somebody needed to hear this message. You are not going to see your enemies anymore after this moment. You must have a spirit of faith. You must trust the Lord. You must know that God has been bringing you out of all the organized religious systems that are ready to die. You have to know that God is bringing you out and separating you. And maybe you feel, you know, very insignificant, very small. The great armies of Egypt are coming at you, and it just seems impossible. But God is telling you today, I will make a way where there seems to be no way. I will make a way through the wilderness. I will bring you through the fire. I will bring you through the flood. You shall not be burned and you shall not drown. The enemy that has come against you, that is threatening you, I have the power to cause them to drown. And that's exactly what happened here. You know the rest of the story. And so having said that, I did my part today, but I want to bring in our dear brother and pastor from Falls, Virginia. This is Pastor Jeff. And I don't know Pastor Jeff's last name, but I'm certainly going to find out right now. And I'm going to say good morning to our brother and Pastor Jeff. Good morning, sir. God bless you. Welcome to the broadcast. How are you today?
Good morning, Pastor Vincent. Can you hear me?
I hear you well. I hear you well, sir. It's good to have you today.
Well, thank you. It's an honor to be here today. I've been listening to your show the last 3 months. Just the Holy Spirit kind of just led me to discover you. And I was just blessed, have been blessed by your teaching and the Word of God. And it's just truly been a blessing.
Thank you, Pastor Jeff. Appreciate those kind words. And I know that you are very busy as well. You have a radio station that I know just a little bit about. I want to make sure that we share that information with the body of Christ today. But you did contact me a few days ago, and we were talking about dreams and visions, and we had a little minor conversation. And you said that God was showing you some very profound things in dreams, and we had a conversation about them. They were very profound. And here we are today, just feeling very led to talk about this, what God is showing people. We've heard about Pastor Dana's dreams, and I think you have some connection to that as well. So without further ado, Pastor Jeff, why don't you just say hello to everybody today, and let's get into what the Spirit of God has been showing you. And I know you're cautious with this, and you're not just kind of saying things, but you've had some profound dreams lately. Let's talk about them.
Well, yes, sir. First of all, I'm typically not a dreamer. It's kind of like, I guess what I do have in common with Pastor Coverstone is the fact that, you know, when I first saw his video, he was saying, hey, this is not what he does. You know, he's a pastor and everything. And it's the same here. I've been, my wife and I have pastored over 25 years. I've been saved over 33 years and everything. And I say that not to boast or brag, but I'm just saying, I believe God has called me to teach the word with clarity and simplicity. And I pastor a small congregation here in Manassas, Virginia, right outside of the Washington, D.C., about 35 miles west of Washington, D.C. And, just doing what I do, you know, teach. And it just seems like God has begun to give me dreams. And it started quickly. It started before the dream. Of course, the lockdown started the end of March. And so I documented, you know, the dates of my sermons, and we were, you know, one of my sermons online, God spoke to me April 26th, which was the last Sunday, of course, of April. And my message was entitled, Wake Up, It Has Started. And he gave me three words to give the people, 3 points of what has started. And it was a 2-part message, and the 3 things, I won't, for your time constraints, I won't just get into it and teach it or anything like that. But he in that message, he said what had started was the shaking, the sifting, and the shifting. And I'm like, wow. So I shared that, you know, with the congregation. And then I do a Tuesday night teaching online. And then a few weeks later, he gave me the state of moral decay. And he started telling me that this country and this world is in a moral decay. And he gave me like a 2 or 3 part message on that on a Tuesday night. And I'm like, whoa, God. Then he started waking me up, waking me up before the dream started coming every morning around 4 o'clock. Could be 4:05, 4:10, but during the 4 o'clock hour. So I would get up, couldn't go back to sleep. So I just would get up and pray and seek the Lord. And he gave me this dream a few weeks ago. And like I said, I called you and told you about it. and it kind of shook me to the core. I'll share it with everyone. And he gave me one yesterday, and that's and I give you that one. But the one he gave me first a few weeks ago, it said because I got up and wrote it down. It says, I saw this lady and I knew her in the dream, and I had like feelings. It's like you know them. It could be a relative or it could be a friend, but it wasn't like a sexual feeling. It was like, hey, I feel like I know this person. And so the lady went down the hall. And me and an older lady that was standing next to me, we followed her, and we saw her down the hallway. And this lady, who I don't know who she was, but it seemed like I knew her, but I didn't know her name or anything like that. We saw her kissing this man. So me and the older lady, we turned around, and we went back into the room that we initially came out of. And we saw a white board in this room. And this lady who was down the hall had like beat us back to the room, and she was in there saying that the people's names on the board was a team, and my name was on the board, and it was circled. And she said she pointed to my name and two or three other names on the board. I only recognized that I was a part of the team, but people in the room, they were not happy about this new team. So you could see there was a little people being disgruntled. So I left the room and went to the back, and it was a door, and I walked out, and the scene seemed to change. And now I was on a movie set where they were filming, and it was a lot of studio type sound stage cameras and equipment. And as I walked across the set to get, to where I was going to the outside, I knew in my spirit that they were showing on the cameras the JFK assassination. Because I felt it, and I saw on one of the cameras, there were big, these big TV cameras and stuff to the left and to the right. And I saw on one of the cameras to my left, a photo, a still shot photo of Jackie Kennedy. And she had on a light powder blue dress, and she was just standing there, when you freeze a shot, she was just standing there with that on, and it was on one of the cameras. And so I became kind of frightened because I'm in my 60s, and I remember during that period, I was like in the first grade. And, back then you only had three TV stations, and they kept showing it over and over and over and over and over. So I go, oh, my goodness. I knew in my spirit what was coming next. So I kept running through the set to get to the outside and get off of this set. But then I saw the back of a man's head. And I couldn't recognize who the man was, but I saw this was a still shot too. You could just see a picture of a man, and you could see the back of his head. And I saw like a bullet coming toward the back of his head on the right side. But it was like if you freeze a picture, it's frozen still there, and so you didn't see an impact or anything or stuff like that. So, but it wasn't a graphic view and stuff. But like I said, I couldn't see the man's face. So I kept running, and I finally got through the set to the other side. And on the other side, it was a fenced section, where I recognized a man was holding a box. And the people from the set behind me were filming this whole scene. And the men filming said that this was a promotion or a connection with NASCAR. And also I remember overhearing the people who were talking, one of the men said that as they were filming this whole thing, that someone who was part of the crew liked watching the JFK assassination over and over. And I woke up and I looked at the clock, and it was like 4:06 in the morning. I was, so I got up and I was afraid, and I just wrote this down, and that was the dream.
It's an amazing dream. Okay, now, interpretation. Have you received an interpretation? Do you believe you understand what that dream was all about? Obviously, we're talking about an assassination, JFK. Are you associating that with anything? Has God revealed anything to you?
No. I mean, I only shared it with you and one other person. The other person, they didn't really, said it could be what we possibly, think. I immediately began in the time since then, and since I spoke to you, I just began spiritual warfare coming against it. Say, Lord, I just come against any type of assassinations on anyone, you know, in the name of Jesus and stuff like that. But no, like I told you, like, you know, I'm not a dream interpreter or anything. I mean, I've had dreams before, but nothing this prolific. And even the one I'm hopefully I'll be able to tell you next. But I guess the short answer is no. I mean, I hope it's not what I want, you know, what anyone would think. I mean, I pray against any type of assassination or anything. But
you know, I think in our conversation, when you and I were talking about this, we've seen since the president of the United States has been elected into office in Central Park, you know, the comedian chopping the head off, the assassinations, Julius Caesar, you know, all kinds of imagery came out everywhere. I mean, it was like the enemy just manifested his hatred towards this individual, this man. I mean, we've never seen anything like that before. We're open in the public, showing his head in people's hands, the assassination of Julius Caesar again. And so obviously there's that spirit in the atmosphere, and it does appear that there are people that have that kind of hatred and animosity. And again, if Yahweh God, our Father, is protecting the president of the United States, no weapon formed against him will prosper. Every tongue that rises against him in judgment shall be condemned. But on the other hand, you know, God is revealing something. So the only thing to do is continue to seek the interpretation of that. What does that dream mean? Is it a warning? Is it something that's going to be fulfilled? Is God revealing something? Obviously, people are going to start praying for the president, I think, a lot right now, especially the responsibility that we have to pray for him. So unless you have anything else you'd like to share, the people listening, if they have interpretation, they could share that. If not, let's move on to what just happened yesterday, which I have not heard.
Yesterday, I just I've been working, you know, and waking up. Sometimes you get a little nappy or sleep up. So around, I guess, about 4:30, I'm here on the East Coast or whatever, by time, 4:30 or 5 or whatever. This is in my recliner, just taking a nap there and stuff. And I had a dream. And I would take the dream was I was in a room talking to someone, and as I turned to walk away, I noticed that there were a lot of other people in the room who seemed to be just, you know, minding their business, talking, you know, people over here talking. It was quite a few people and stuff. I knew none of these people, but then a man came into the room, and he loudly said, "Well, that's it. World War III is here." He said, and the man then said, "It's been confirmed, it was a bomb." And people seemed shocked. I mean, they didn't like jump up and scream, you know, wow, you know, like that. But they seemed like stunned, and they stood up, and everybody just kind of patiently, not in a panic, started exiting the room. I also left the room and went into a hallway that had lots of students, but they didn't look like elementary or anything. These were look more like high school or college kids. And they were lined up on both sides, like in a, you know, like in a school hallway or whatever, on the left and on the right. And I lined up on the right side when I came out of the door, and we were all seemingly waiting to be allowed to enter a room. There was a door, and, you know, of course, the door to a room. And this it was a person standing at the door, and you could see, even if you're in line, you could see up to the door. And you would see that the person was opening the door and allowing four or five people in at a time. It's kind of similarly here, and it's probably where you are and where everybody's at, like now Walmart and different places at least for a minute there during this lockdown or whatever, they weren't letting everybody in the store at one time. They'd like maybe four or five people at a time. That's what they were doing here to the students to go in. And I don't know what they were getting. I assume, you know, you go in and either get your belongings or you could go in and come out another door. That wasn't revealed to me. I just saw them going in. And as they would go in, the line, especially on my side, seemed to move very quickly on the side I was in. You know, they were going in, and then seemed like they'd call the next four or five, and then they would go in. And we were moving faster than the line on the left. And as I got closer to the door, I looked across to the other side of the room and saw and saw my son. I'm a wife and I, we only have one child. He's in his early 20s, 23, he'll be 24 this year. Chris, I looked across and I saw him walking through the crowd, and we made eye contact. And in the dream I was excited to recognize that that was my son and that he was safe. I then awakened, and as I awakened, my son was going upstairs. I said, well, hey, what time is it? And he said it was 6:02. And so I immediately went and looked. That was the end of the dream, but I went and looked at Strong's Concordance, and I looked up the number 602, and it says 602 means it's from, I guess, the Greek apocalypse, where we get the word apocalypse. And it says an uncovering, an unveiling, revealing, revelation is from the word disclosure, appearing, coming, manifestation, something to be revealed. And it closed by saying it's principally used of the revelation of Jesus Christ, the Word, especially a particular spiritual manifestation of Christ, his will, previously unknown to the extent because it was veiled or covered. And that's it.
Wow. Manifestation. That's huge. Absolutely amazing. Why did you ask your son the time and then connect that with the Greek concordance? Why did you go immediately to the Greek concordance on that? Were you trained to do that, or was that just a response that came?
Yeah, basically, I can't remember who I had seen that over the last year or so. Like, I'm not into numerology, of course, like right. that. But I think I've heard you even teaching a few weeks ago that God, you don't have to be into numerology or witchcraft. God created the numbers and the biblical numbers and significance. We all know that the number five is the number of grace and so forth. So I just immediately was led to go put in that number, because just like the number, like in my dream before, I told you I woke up at 4:06. This morning, I woke up at 4:06, and I looked that up, and that's the word, the number 4:06 in Strong's is husbandman. And, in John, where it says, I am the vine, and he is, and we are the branches, and God is the vine dresser or the husbandman and stuff. But that's why I kind of just looked, and I didn't know what time it was when I came out of this dream. Like I said, again, this one, I wasn't really scared, but I was more like, wow, this is not a typical dream. This is not, you ate too much pizza type dream. I felt like God was showing me something in there. In this dream about the bomb also. So that's why I just looked it up. And like I said, to me, that this one even more than, I don't understand the one with the assassination part, but this one, apocalypse, in Revelation, the end time, and you have said, the winds of war. And I do believe that. I mean, I've been studying, when I told you starting off with this conversation that God gave me that message, wake up, it has started. And even in that, I've been just doing a lot of research and seeking the Lord, and he has shown me a pattern, a biblical pattern, with pestilence, famine, and war. Pestilence, famine, and war. And we've seen the pestilence. The famine is to come, I believe, and the war is too. So that's it.
Well, Pastor Jeff, yeah, you've shared a lot here. I think it's very interesting that tomorrow is 9/11, and tomorrow people will be remembering what happened on a Tuesday in New York City, in Washington, D.C. You're only 35 miles from D.C., which is very interesting to me. Obviously, God is tuning you in to a frequency in the heavens, and he's revealing things to you to be on the airwaves right now to, again, confirm what people know. It's very interesting, or what people have heard, I should say. There's a lot of talk right now from, some high-powered pastors out there and people that are sharing from the Spirit of God. I believe that their hearts are right with this, about suitcase nuclear weapons, about dirty bombs going off. We have prophetic words hanging over our nation, like the sword of Damocles, if you will. For years, people have seen the fuse lit and the powder keg ready to blow, and there seems to be some central concentration in the Washington, D.C. area. And when you said that these people in that room said, well, that's it. It's World War III. The bomb has gone off. You know, you start connecting the dots and kind of hearing and listening and watching. I think this is very, very profound, quite frankly. And we know that there's a big movement coming in September where the progressive left is going to Washington, D.C. We have a prophetic word in the month of October that things could, you know, we're just going back years now, 11 years ago, about the potential for a dirty bomb, a nuclear weapon being detonated in a major city across the country, like in Washington, D.C. and others. And then that dream with Pastor Dana with November, I mean, the lights out punch that hits the calendar. These are very profound and very, very profound. Your thoughts about that?
Well, I think you're spot on, Pastor Vincent. Like, I've been sharing with our congregation. We have a small congregation, but the point is, I've been sharing. I guess God spoke to me. You know, you can't share everything with everybody, not just because of the fear factor, but some people just might not believe. So, you know, with our flock, I called a special meeting over the last couple of months, and I've been sharing with them what God has allowed me to share with them. And I've been saying, prepare, you know, and I told them, I said, I believe what God is sharing with me is we need to prepare in a twofold way. You know, we need to prepare as if we were getting out of here, the rapture. So, you know, my wife and I have been, we've got an urgency. We're going to be doing a teaching tonight about urgency. If you don't know Jesus Christ, you know, of course, the salvation piece and everything, you know, we're doing that. But also, if he doesn't come, we still need to be prepared, you know. And I've been telling them, you know, prepare if there's civil unrest. Prepare if there's an EMP, electromagnetic pulse, you know, just to be prepared in the natural. Do you have water and batteries? And I went over this whole checklist with them. You know, especially I told them we're in the nation's capital, so to speak, in the metropolitan area, and we need to be prepared. You know, are you prepared? Do you have your a bag ready? If you had to leave this area, you know, what would you do? I mean, are you going to try to figure it out, or do you already have you already figured it out? You know, and already have a plan, an escape route to, you know, to flee or to do whatever and stuff. And I believe they received that, but. You know, it's interesting that my son in the dream my wife and I, she kind of laughed. She said, what about me? I said, well, I don't think we were raptured today, of course. I said, but dear, I know you would be with me. But it took me back to when you said about 9/11. 9/11, I was a bivocational pastor. Our son was in kindergarten 5 or whatever. He hadn't quite turned 5. He was going to turn 5 that December. He was right at 5. And he always remembers 9/11. That's that memorable point in his life, like the Kennedy assassination and all the assassinations in the 60s were my memorable point. But that day I remember because I was working a secular job, my wife was, and we had a son in school in kindergarten, and then we would drop him off, and then I would go to work and she would go to work, and I didn't she worked in the DC area in Arlington, not far from the Pentagon. Actually, one of the planes flew over the building that she was in. I worked not far in Arlington, in Alexandria, and the impact shook the building. That I felt the shake of the impact when the plane hit that building, and everybody just fled. And we, you know, I had a plan to go pick up our son and my wife and all of that. But it was such a beautiful day. Everybody all over the country, and I hear them say it was such a beautiful day of us driving in to work that morning. And it was suddenly. So God has been dealing with me about it could happen suddenly and stuff. So that's kind of where I'm at with it. I mean, I took that this dream, all both of them seriously, but this one was more like, man, I mean, it could happen at any time.
What a lesson. And it's interesting on 9/11/2001 that the earth was darkened spiritually, definitely, in the clear day. It was such a beautiful day in New York City and Washington, D.C. that day. And the Bible says in Amos chapter 8 that God, one of the judgments is that God would darken the earth in the clear day. And he talks about the famine of hearing the words of God. Jesus said in the last days, men and women would be longing for just one of the days of the Lord to really understand what's happening. And part of that preparation, Pastor Jeff, I really believe right now where the wise virgins are getting their oil, I equate that oil to getting the Word of God deeply enriched in our spirit. I mean memorization, getting the Word of God, because I do believe a famine of hearing the words of God is going to come, and people are going to have to revert to what they know inwardly. And if they're in a place where they can't just go pick up their Bible and start reading it, which we've taken for granted for how long in the church, we've left our Bibles on the table and given it 5-minute views, and I haven't really studied the Word of God and really broken it down and got into the meat of it and allowed that Word to, that engrafted Word, to save our souls and to prepare us mentally, emotionally, spiritually, open us up to what God is saying by the Spirit. I mean, it's really time to get filled with the Holy Spirit, get enriched with the Word of God, listen to these dreams, these visions, this prophesying of the Holy Spirit. What an amazing time it is. It is such an amazing time, and there's just too much coming together at the same moment. It's a convergence, if you will, of all these events that are coming to this grand moment in time, and God's people need to know how to respond to it. And yet I know even as we're talking, there's a sentiment in people's hearts that says, this can't happen. This can't happen, not now. And yet there are people that are out there that know that we're in the any moment now, not any second, not any minute, not any hour, not any day, not any week or month, but any moment now. I mean, there are so many pastors out there, you know, that are getting these words. Pastor Jeff, I want to thank you for sharing today. God bless you, my friend. Anything else
Pastor Jeff, anything else? Well, I just think that, Pastor Vincent, I just think that the body of Christ has really got a, you know, this started, I believe, this season with me where I'm at, started with that message on April 26th. This was before the George Floyd. This was all of that. This was about a month before all of that. God, when he said, wake up, it has started. And I just think the enemy wants the body of Christ to be weak and silent. And I think we have to wake up and not be spiritually complacent. I just think, you know, God is in this season giving us strategy, because maybe, you know, I could talk to you later about it, and or if, you know, we talk more at some other time. But I did some research, and a lot of the stuff that a lot of these groups, ungodly groups, are doing, whether it's BLM or how the LGBT movement started, man, they got together and strategized, and they are on one accord. And I just think, and I'm not uplifting it by no means, but I'm just saying the church, we're just, you know, we're divided. It's we're segmented and looking at too many things, distract, and we just, you know, what you said, we've got to teach the word. We've got to be pretty much, like, to me, old school. You know, it's no time to teach a motivational message. I told our church, you know, 5 easy ways to get rich. That's not what we need. That's, we need the meat. I mean, we need the strong meat. We need the Word of God. And I think it's time for the body of Christ to stand up, to be on one accord. You know, God gave me a strategy, and he confirmed this through another pastor that I know in South Carolina. And I hadn't spoken to him in a long time. I mean, we're Facebook friends, but last thing I want to say is that God gave me this. What he gave me, this pastor about a week ago posted, and when he posted, I'm going like, God, that's what you gave me. So I wasn't upset, but what God was showing me, that what he gave me, he's given to others, because what he gave me is what we need now for all of us to, you know, to do, to come together, whether it's in prayer, fast, whatever, and watch God do what only God can do. You know, I think about with Baal, you know, you got all your gods, but I've got my God. And if we say we trust God and we say these things, it's time for us to actually, you know, do the Word of God. Not, you know, not just be hearers of the Word, but doers of the Word of God only.
Pastor Jeff, that's absolutely amazing. And let's just take a look real quick from what you just said. There is an appointed feast of the Lord coming up on October 2nd through the 9th, everywhere around the world, okay? And this is everything we've learned and understood, and we're not experts in any of this stuff, but this is what we've learned through the years, that the feast of the Lord are appointed seasons. And God, when he created his calendar on the fourth day of creation, created it in mind with the feast, the festivities, the moeds. And it's very, very clear. And we teach on these things and we see them and they're marvelous. So we have a time coming up in the midst of all this chaos, all of these things that God is revealing, bringing to people that are not just, you know, into dramatic fear-mongering or themes, very real saints of God that are really seeing and witnessing to some degree the things going on. So God has this appointed feast. And you look throughout scripture of all the different times that God has gathered his people together. We started today with he gathers Israel together and brings them out of Egypt, but they're really mentally, emotionally a wreck. You know, they're afraid of anything that doesn't work right. They're terrified. And so they're gathered together. They're going to die in the wilderness. Moses, their leader, was wrong, et cetera, et cetera. But they're gathered and they're having these issues. Then you go back to maybe Ezra, Nehemiah. The people are gathered together. They're sitting all day, standing actually all day in the rain while the word of God is being presented for hours. And the people are weeping and mourning because the law, the Torah, is being spoken to them. They're getting a download of what God's purpose and plan is. And the people then are told, be glad and rejoice. So I believe, Pastor Jeff, that God strategically, to what you just said, that the ecclesia needs to gather together. We need to sit down and we need to hear what the Lord is saying to us. Now, we do that over these airwaves here, but I'm convinced God is in control and we will never say a thing that's really in the depths of his heart over the airwaves if they're not intended for others to hear. I do believe that God wants to gather his people, and each one of us, I believe we need to find that gathering. How do we do it? With your congregation, you talk with them as their pastor. They get together. You get that plan together. And we do that here at New Wine Ministries. But what an opportunity to honor the Lord for his Feast of Tabernacles, an appointed time for 7, 8, 9 days, people coming out of all the busyness, settling down, breaking bread, having fellowship, trusting God. He's bringing different voices. He might bring Pastor Jeff on down and his family to be with us for the feast and impart something and to hear a strategy. I know that we have other pastors coming from South Dakota, from Tennessee, Pastor Kevin Honeycutt, Pastor Dave and Victoria Obenauer. And these are people that God has brought into our path that have a message for right now. But I think what you just said needs to be done. You're right. It needs to be done. Your thoughts?
Well, absolutely. In the strategy that he gave me quickly, how can I speed it?
Yeah, you don't have to speed
up. Basically, no, okay. Well, the thing is, God showed me that there's going to be some people that we think initially that would go with us with this, but that's not who he wants in this. And he took me to the book of Judges about Gideon. When Gideon was going to fight, I guess, believe the Midianites. And basically, he had too many men. And God had to dwindle it down to 300 mighty men. And he had, of course, the lap test of how they would drink the water, those who would either bend down or would lap and drink the water. And God showed me, because he said 300 was an interesting number. And I even heard a former pastor, I don't know, he's gone on to be with the Lord, but I don't know if you know of him, named Miles Monroe. He was from the Bahamas, and he taught about purpose and vision a lot and the kingdom. And I heard him say, which tied into this, what I'm saying, is that if you can get 300 people on one accord, you can change a culture. And that stuck with me. I ran across that teaching about 3 or 4 months ago, and then that's when God gave me this strategy of the 300. And then he began to show me that it's not just who you think that would be a part of this team. It's who I tell you and who qualifies, just like the people qualified or were disqualified with the way they drunk the water in Judges. He said, first, you need a core, like three. Then you go to 12. Then you go to 70. Then you go to the 120, which is like in the upper room. Then you go to the 300. And that's all. You don't need any more than 300. And you can get those on one accord. And like I told you, when this pastor from South Carolina, what I saw, he posted that. Not exactly like I said it, but he had that same 312, and he didn't get to the 300, but he had the 120. He wanted to go to the 120, but it's the same principle. And I thought there was a person that I know, my wife and I know, and we approached this pastor, this lady, to be a part. And I didn't give her all the details like that. And I said, well, we're going to pray, and God has given me a strategy. Well, and she, you know, she began asking all these questions. I said, well, let me go back to God and see if he will allow me to reveal this. I mean, we're still good friends, but she's not part of it. God said, not her. You know, because you can't be distracted. You got to believe. And I'm not saying people just buy into something, but you got to trust God and be a part of it. And it is not a political. It's not this. We're going to just seek God and do what God tells us to do. And I believe if the body of Christ, you know, and it doesn't just have to be me, if we started doing those, this type of strategy, we would watch strongholds be destroyed. We would begin to see a mighty move of God. And that's just what I believe.
Yeah, and you know, that's an amazing, relaying of truth. That inspiration, that intercession, that prayer that brings change, I see it always as an acceleration to bring about the end time events so that the church will be standing on this earth one day with heads looking up for their redemption draws nigh, that this thing will culminate, that there will be a conclusion so that we don't go into another season of roundabout, up and down roller coaster. It's time for the bride and the spirit to say, come quickly, Lord Jesus. There has to be a hunger in the heart of God's kids crying out to the Lord, Lord, bring this to an end. This promise of your coming, the events are happening all over the world that you said would precede your coming. May we separate ourselves unto the Lord and do this. And I think you have a strategy. I think you're relaying a plan. Wouldn't it be just wonderful to see those groups of 300 gathering together in regions? And my God, that would be so rich. I remember also in some other numbers, Jesus does what? He sits them down in groups of 50 and 100, and he's taking the 5,000. And, you know, those numbers are incredible. They're like codes, Pastor Jeff. I love that. I love that. So go ahead.
No, I was going to say, absolutely. I think people say, well, why that, Pastor? Because When the riots started, and you guys probably remember, they were also here in the D.C. area, and it was a Saturday night, and I reminded my wife about it. We were going to bed, and we just happened to watch the 11 o'clock news here with you know, 10 o'clock at Eastern Central or whatever, but we were watching the news that night. When the news went off, they had, like, all the local stations were talking about what they were doing. This was the riots. Remember that after that weekend, the president with the Bible and the photo op and whatever. But here's the thing. My wife and I lay there in the bed watching this, and when we saw the people burn the church, to burn it down, and of course we know the deal with the media, but the whole point is nobody, you didn't see, I know there were a lot of Christians, so I'm not like in judgment or whatever, but I'm just saying I didn't see the outrage from the church, the ecclesia, you know, collectively, you know, just saying, hey, listen, you know, where's the reverence for the church? But yet and still, they could get up and say on that Monday to condemn the president for standing holding the Bible. You know, so it's something wrong when we, again, the church, I think we're either, we're asleep. We need to get shaken to wake up. You know, we need to be bold as a lion. You know, that doesn't mean that we go and do something unlawful. But I'm saying, you know, if greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world, I've got to live it. You know, it's like going to church. I told our church, you get trained, but then you don't use the training that you've gotten. You know, I was in the military for 4 years. They trained us in basic training to be prepared if we went to war. That's what basic training was for. And I think the church has got to get back to, like, okay, praying and fasting and spiritual warfare in Ephesians 6. And we're not just getting that to sit on it. God, this season that we're in, we're going to have to utilize what we've been taught and stuff. So we got to stand up for those things, you know, come against those demonic spirits, call those things, you know, that are wrong, you know. But as you said, I think with Brother Daniel the other day, we're in a season where there's a generation who do not know the Lord. And I just think those who do, we have to teach those who don't, and we have to teach the word of God. And the time is now, and the time is short. And we've got to do what God has called us to do.
I love that. And Pastor Jeff, as you're talking about Gideon, his 300 men, look at the deliverance that those 300 brought to the nation of Israel. The other 32,700, I believe was the right number, went back because they were afraid. The 300 come forward, and you talked about not doing anything illegal out there, and I agree with that. But the strategy they had was break some lights and shout, you know? So God has a strategy that he can operate through a few that could bring a deliverance to many. And that is strategic, and that's what we need right now, is to know the strategy. Know the strategy for spiritual warfare, because we're not just fighting flesh and blood in our dispensation. We are now, you're in your dreams, you're hearing God say, I believe this is what I heard that God was showing you. It's done. It has begun. There's no turning back. World War III was spoken in your dream. There was a bomb. There was a detonation. It's going to happen. We now are hearing the confirmation through a dream. It's going to happen. And rather than getting caught off guard, it's now, how do we navigate through whatever World War III is going to look like? What is that going to look like with Russia and China and the Middle East and North Korea? I mean, what does this look like? So I believe we're being very warned, and yet in the midst of this strategy to bring deliverance to God's people, very profound.
And I believe we have to tell people, Pastor Vincent, I mean, I believe God is going to hold us accountable. I mean, again, and when I say this, I believe you will be in agreement with me from a scriptural standpoint. God has given us all free will. That is true. He's given us free will. He gave Adam and Eve free will.
Right.
You know, but my point being, you know, when I stand before the Lord, I want to hear him say, "Well done, that good and faithful servant. You know, you did what you shared it." You know, sometimes I feel like Jeremiah, the weeping prophet. I say, like, you know, God, but they, you know, sometimes maybe at, you know, a congregation, maybe a person or two, that they don't hear it. Or God, you know, you want me to say this again or reiterate it? And he says, don't worry about that. I just told you to do your part. Quick example. My mother, she's in her 80s. She lives in the Oakland, California area, and she has some health problems and so forth. And my sister and I, my sister lives in this area, we've been trying to get her to relocate away from the you know, that area, you know, so she could be closer to us. I have a brother there and his wife, and they're getting ready to relocate to the Atlanta area. But she doesn't like to fly and different things. But I told her Sunday, I had a conversation with her. I'll make a quick point here. I said, "Yo, Mom, you need to get out of there, you know. My sister, she has, you know, worked for the airlines before. She gets discount flights." I said, we need to get you out of here. I didn't want to go into word and, you know, of course, bring fear upon her, which I know if I told her, listen, there's a curse, you know, California with all of, you need to get out of there. I just said, you know, you need to come. Well, I don't know, but I'll think about it. I hung up. 3 hours later, I was just online. There was an earthquake, a small earthquake, roughly 3 hours after I got off the phone from her, you know, near the area where she lives. Secondly, I ran across a prophetic word from someone, a lady who said God gave her a dream that said, get out of California. And she shared that with people. So we know with all of the legislation, ungodly legislation and everything, my thing is, it's not to scare people, but we have to tell the people what we believe God is telling us through dreams and visions.
And Pastor Jeff, the people in California right now that are getting surrounded, they are terrified. They are afraid. I mean, you're talking from the borders of Canada coming down into Oregon, Washington, Oregon, into California, and these areas are burning. They showed an image today of San Francisco in the middle of the day with the orange, eerie-looking skies. Talk about the things being darkened. And so, yeah, that's a responsible position to take. You have to really know God said to tell those people, get out of California. But, how long do you wait? How long do people just, do you linger like Lot? Do you get out like the Jewish people in Nazi Germany? They had the warning. They heard the warning. It resonated. They got out. Or is my family too important or my business too important? I grew up here. I like it. It's pretty. When do you, people have to be responsible. And like you said, that's a hard word. You can get knocked around for saying get out of California. But if God told that individual to say it, now people have to pray about it and find out, Lord, is this your heart? And if they know the Lord, they're tuned in, it could be the very message they've been looking for and be willing to do it.
Yeah. Do we love the things of the world more than we love the word of God? God told Abram to get your family and go to a land that I will show you. So, my family, we have no problem. We've talked about if God says, if we hear the Spirit of the Lord tell us to do something, we're going to do it because we love him and we love the things of God and God more than the things of the world.
Amen.
And I don't know if that's because of my relationship with the Lord, but being in my 60s, it really doesn't, I'm like Paul, I've had,
yeah.
I mean, and there's been seasons of my life where I haven't had, and I'm more concerned about my eternal security and my eternal salvation than I am about these temporal things in this world. So that's kind of where I'm at.
Yeah, it's beautiful. Hey, Pastor Jeff, you have a radio station. Tell us a little bit about the work you're doing. I know you have a church, which is your main, you're caring for God's kids. And with the message you're carrying, there's no wonder why you're not a mega church yet. But the time will come, as I'm understanding, that people will begin to hear the truth and they will move toward the truth and stop being fleeced by organizational religious structures, et cetera, et cetera. But tell us about your radio ministry. What is that all about?
Yeah, my background is in broadcast journalism. My degree is in broadcast journalism. Before I was saved, I was in radio for nearly 15 years as a radio announcer, sales, marketing, and programming of radio. And I always wanted my own radio station when I was in the world, and I never did it. And God just blessed me as a Christian now to start a radio station. It's called the Lift. That's LIFT Media Network. And he did it instead of Lift Radio because there may be some, he may do some offshoots of that, video or digital as opposed to just radio. But it started off, the Lift Media Network, and you can get there at www.liftchrist.org.
Yes.
And we're 24/7. Online Christian radio station. It has Christian ministries, other Christian programming, and various Christian music.
Do you speak live, Pastor Jeff? Do you have a live broadcast where you speak at a particular time?
Not yet. I do have on Saturdays. I have a 30-minute broadcast called The Overflow. It's my teaching broadcast, and it comes on every Saturday at 6:30 Eastern time, and it's pre-recorded, some of my messages. I do have the capabilities of going live, but right now, like you said, a pastor, just a lot of different moving pieces, and once you start, I'm the type of person, I don't like to start and stop. I like consistency and excellence. So I don't really want to go down that path if I can't consistently do it and do it with a spirit of excellence. But it's something that's probably coming in the future. And for all your listening audience there, Pastor Vincent and I have briefly talked, and I look forward to the day where he'll have his own show on our station.
Love it. Absolutely amazing. God bless you, Pastor Jeff. I'm looking forward to that conversation as well. And it's platforms. It's just God taking people that are carrying his message and presenting it. We live in a day where there's a tremendous amount of prophecy. God's people have to be super sensitive and tuned into the Holy Spirit to know this is the way, walk ye in it. We have to be living with our hands wide open, not possessing anything mentally, emotionally, or physically that will prevent us from going where the Spirit leads. I mean, that's all there is to it.
Amen. And I think like-minded. I mean, I think it's partnerships, connections, and relationships that God is divinely orchestrating. And like, I've never met Pastor Vincent, but it's just something that quickened in my spirit. I like his teaching. I believe he's doctrinally sound. Like I said, I discovered your broadcast about 3 months ago, and you know, it's kind of like people binge watch TV shows. Like I told Pastor Vincent off air when we spoke before, I said, man, I really hate the fact that you're not on Mondays, you know, I mean, because I mean, I want to get that word and everything, you know, he's on Tuesday, I guess, through Friday. And I understand, you know, Sabbath and, you know, you got to rest after the Sabbath and everything like that. But that word is so rich and it's so just eye opening. And it has caused me to go dig into the word, and it has encouraged me. And I believe that's what you do to your listeners every day for those hour and a half that you're on. And I know others probably echo me that we look forward to hearing, you know, your voice and your word that God has given you to share with us every day.
Well, very kind, Pastor Jeff. Thank you. And Father God has his men and women everywhere. God bless your voice. God bless your heart. And maybe, just maybe, you never know if Pastor Jeff and his family will come out. We'll get to meet Chris even. Who knows? And if he tells you to come, you come. All right, Pastor Jeff, anything else? Any final word you want to say to the people that are out there today? Or are you?
Well, the only thing I would say is just, you know, if I gave you one scripture, it would be the one in Hebrews that says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith.
Amen.
I mean, we can't get distracted on the things. We got to clearly hear from God. My sheep know my voice, and the voice of another they will not follow. Lastly, I heard of several people I know. I love them dearly. They were saying, well, you know, Jeff, there needs to be someone, a voice raised up in this season, you know, maybe like another Dr. King or someone. And I respect and honor Dr. King's legacy and everything like that. But I told him, I said, hey, in this season, I don't believe God has to necessarily raise up a voice. We need to hear the voice of God in this season that we're living in. And that's what I would tell everyone. Listen to the voice of the Lord. If God has been waking you up at the first couple of times with the dreams, you know, I wanted to roll back over, but I couldn't go back to sleep. So now, I mean, I'm kind of getting used to, he'd wake me up, go to the bathroom or something, and I can't go back to sleep. So, you know, whatever. Or he'll give me a dream, and I can't go back to sleep. So, you know, I'm not, you know, just boasting of that. I just said, Lord, I'm a willing vessel. So allow yourself, if God wants to use us in this season, please allow him to use you for his glory.
Amen. Amen. What a word. What a word. Pastor Jeff, what is your last name, sir?
Bass, like the fish. Remember, largemouth bass, fish.
Bass. I love it. All right, Pastor Jeff Bass coming in from...
And I'm in Manassas, Virginia, by the way.
Oh, Manassas. Okay. Why do we get the Falls thing going? You know, we have a number of people. Clarence Ellis, one of the first gentlemen that tuned in, he's from Virginia, and Carol Carey is from Virginia, and Pastor Jeff Bass is from Manassas, Virginia, 35 miles west of Washington, D.C. I wish you very well. Be safe out there. And wouldn't it be safe to say, by the way, that while people are beginning to wake up, the phrase out there is, are you woke? that the majority of people, in spite of everything going on, are still really sound asleep. They've been blinded by the God of this world. They have zero spiritual understanding about what is happening. And the church should never feed off of that reality that is disconnected from the Father's heart. We should know that being awake right now is a gift from God Almighty, our Father.
Amen.
Amen. All right, Pastor.
Amen. Love you, brother.
Love you too, man. Thank you for spending the time on the air with me today. It was excellent. And God bless you. All right. Very good. That's Pastor Jeff Bass from Manassas, Virginia, 35 miles west from Washington, D.C., carrying the cargo of Christ. I heard him when he said that he felt like Jeremiah, the weeping prophet. I'm telling you, Jeremiah's spirit is walking through the earth. You remember when John the Baptist was walking on the earth 2,000 years ago, Jesus said, "This is Elijah." Yeah, that's right. Elijah, his spirit was in John the Baptist. And I am positive that Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Isaiah, the prophets of God are walking through this earth right now and through this nation with a message to the ecclesia. It wouldn't be surprising to me, Jeremiah weeping over this nation for its condition, Elijah trying to come to wake the people up. And yet God has these vessels. They're all different vessels that the spirit of the Lord, they're only, you see, Elijah's spirit was only a stream. It was a river of the ocean of Christ, Yeshua, Jesus Christ. Jesus is the ultimate ocean. It's from him that all the rivers and rivulets flow. It's from him that the streams and the creeks, and they all flow out of him. But he's talking to us, and we're awake. We're listening. We're hearing. We're willing to believe the Bible as the map. It's the instruction. It's the navigation. And a man like Pastor Jeff Bass brings that revelation to confirm the word of God. I've been noticing, by the way, that on our YouTube and Facebook, the chatting that's going on out there, there was an individual that was talking about, let me get to it. This is Lomo Duplessis saying that they're experiencing in South Africa, the farmers are being murdered, gruesome death. Folks, in California, in the United States of America, it is so calm in comparison to what's going on in other parts of the world. I don't know how we could help Lomo Duplessis. I don't know. We're going to have to pray. We're going to have to connect, find out what's going on there. But the church in America needs to prepare for what's coming down the pike. California is on fire, raging fires where people are losing. Once again, it's not new. But man, there's something very eerie when you start seeing fires going from Oregon and Washington and into California. The West Coast is burning. That far left West Coast that has, you know, just brought such blasphemy against the spirit of the living God. And you see these riots in Portland. You see these riots in Seattle. You see these rioting. I mean, it's becoming apocalyptic, isn't it? And now we're dealing God's warning about an assassination attempt, possibly through a dream. God is warning about nuclear bombs going off. He's warning about World War III. Complementary dreams God is giving to men and women all over the country and around the world about the days we're living in. I mean, this is not make-believe. This is because you're awake. It's if you're sleeping, you think it's a dream. It's not a dream. It's the reality. It's God revealing what is coming so his people might be prepared. And any other take on it, any other direction is kind of short-sighted in my understanding of things. I've got a call coming in right now from area code 479321. Good morning. God bless you. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
I was just going to ask the pastor where he's from, his last name. You beat me to it.
I beat you to it. All right. Well, thank you. It is Pastor Jeff Bass. He's from Manassas, 35 miles west of Washington, D.C. What a brilliant conversation. That was so fun. Man, I so enjoyed that. If you have any questions or comments you want to weigh in, we're going to go for the extra 21 minutes here. We've got another 20 minutes. We can go as long as we need to if we have to. But have you had a dream from the Spirit of God, something you would say, this is not in my wheelhouse, perhaps, but I had a colorful dream. I had something that is stuck with me, And I really believe the Holy Spirit has given me this dream. Have you had that kind of an experience? Have you had some prophesying or prophecy come into your spirit about or inspiration? I want you to share it today. I want you to share it. The number to call is 818-369-0326. 818-369-0326. If you've had a dream and you would like to share and you think God is saying you need to share this with the body of Christ, then do so, because I am convinced that God is pouring out his spirit. While you're with me right now, we are now September 10th. Tomorrow is September 11th. In about 20 days, 22 days, we are going to be celebrating the Great Feast of Tabernacles. I heard in today's program how God might be utilizing his appointed feast around the world to gather together his people, to impart strategy. I believe God is saying to his people that I'm going to roll away the reproach off of your life, because I can't have you moving into these end times with the burden of guilt, shame, and condemnation. I'm going to cleanse your bloodline in the past, your bloodline in the future, and your bloodline presently. I'm going to roll away your shame and disgrace, and where you have been embarrassed, where you have been humiliated because something hasn't worked. I'm going to roll that away, and I'm going to produce, and I'm going to give birth to something supernatural in your life. I believe that. I believe that this is what God is wanting to do. When Elizabeth was not able to give birth, and finally that reproach was rolled away, and she said, "The Lord has taken away my reproach," that shame, that humiliation, that disgrace. What did she give birth to, for goodness sake? John the Baptist, the greatest prophet to ever walk the earth. And when Hannah was ridiculed every single year going up, and Penina, her adversary, caused her to weep. And finally, Eli says, "All right, whatever you've requested of God, you're going to have it." She receives the word of God. Who does she give birth to? Samuel, the prophet whose words never drop to the ground. In other words, when the reproach is gone off of your life, you're going to give birth to something. I happen to move in the realm of giving birth to sonship, giving birth to a divine nature, giving birth to the fruit of the Holy Spirit, a man-child, giving birth to something glorious that belongs to God Almighty, that belongs to Jesus Christ. There has to be proper cultivation. And what I'm hearing in the season, I'm rolling away the reproach. And how am I going to do it? This is what God just incrementally revealing. I'm going to do it through a impartation, a revelation of the blood of my son, Jesus Christ. I'm going to make his blood no longer just a surface topic, but I'm going to reveal the depths of that blood that washes, that blood that delivers, that blood that cleanses, that blood that protects, that blood that restores and heals, that sanctifies, that purifies. I'm going to take the atoning blood and put it on the altar of your heart. And I'm going to break every curse behind you and ahead of you and right now presently with you. I'm going to do it, saith the Lord. I know this is what God wants to do. And there's a word coming. And I believe that while we're preparing horizontally here, okay, let's get the tents, let's get the food, let's get the, you know, the gathering, the invitations, call the people. I believe God has something supernaturally preparing to pour out upon his people. And I would just say, wouldn't it be an awesome thing if this Feast of Tabernacles, in about 22 days or so, there are over 300 people committed to the Lord who are not afraid of hearing, who are not afraid of knowing, but are gathering by obedience to the Holy Spirit? Wouldn't it be an awesome thing to see those 300 warriors gathered together, not in gender of male and female, because I know there's some outrageous warriors that are in female bodies. I'm talking about a non-gender gathering together of an ecclesia that will stand in the gap, as our sister Joan Vian said, that will stand in the gap, fearless. And I love what Pastor Jeff said. He's 62. He's a young man, but he said, "You know what? I've had much, I've had little, but now I'm more concerned about eternal things." We said the same exact thing last night in our Bible study. You could gain the whole world and lose your soul. You could be chasing after a position. You could be chasing after some ministerial position. You could chase after wealth, a family, a wife, a husband, children. You could chase after all the things of this world. And when you catch it, you'll be a little bit disappointed, because it's not in those things that your life is going to experience the quality that God has for you. It's experiencing, it's apprehending, it's going after, it's capturing Christ. Paul the Apostle in Philippians chapter 3 said, I run that I might win Christ, the high calling of God. He said, everything else I have attained, everything else I had gathered together, I count as dung, that I might know the excellency of Christ. And Paul went on to say, I want to know what it's like to live in the out resurrection from among the spiritually dead. And the reality was there were a lot of spiritually dead people. And he wanted to know what it was like to live in the out resurrection from among the spiritually dead. In other words, he wasn't seeking the physical resurrection from the dead. He was speaking of a spiritual resurrection that he might walk like Yeshua walked among the spiritually dead and be a life-giving spirit. Are you a life-giving spirit? Or is your soul all clogged up still? Is there a hindrance? Is there a stone rolled in the way? Is there something in the tomb standing in the way? Well, God says, as we honor him, I'm going to roll the stone out of the way. I'm going to roll the reproach off your life. I'm going to roll those obstacles that are in your soul. Maybe you've been snared. Maybe you have a hook in your soul through offense or fear or sin. God says, man, I'm going to deal with all of that. I'm going to remove it so that I can release you into destiny and purpose. For you are on this earth for a reason right now. I do believe that. I believe it. I believe it. I believe it. I believe it. I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I believe in the power of God, the kingdom of God, the delivering power of God. I believe in it. And I believe that God, he could just take a few and shake a nation. I believe it. And he's got people all over the world. His sons and daughters are all over the world. What a time to be alive. This is not a time to go fishing. This is not a time to say, I'm going to relax. This is not a time to go back. This is not that time. This is a time to press forward, to go forward. I love where we started the broadcast today, where Moses was told by God, tell the people, go forward. What does that mean for you? Do you have reproach in your life? Are you heavy? Are you burdened? Are you sick? Are you trapped in sin? Are you offended? Has your soul been broken? Are you stained? Are you torn? Are you empty? Is there something wrong? Well, God is saying, I'm going to do something to bring correction to that. And I'm just sitting here going, all right, Lord, you said it. I'll prophesy it. But man, more than that, I desire the experience of that. I want to know no shame anymore, no reproach anymore. No, God forbid we move into the last days with reproach in our lives. God forbid that we move forward with humiliation and disgrace and bloodline curses and generational curses. God forbid we take our mentality of the past into the future. God forbid it. We need to have a clear conscience before God. We need to have an open vision. We need to have download of spiritual interconnectedness. What do I mean by that? Man, I could tell you a story that will just, it's just an amazing story. Here's what I'll tell you I know is available for anybody that will press into it. There's a supernatural realm all around us. And when you spiritually enter into that realm of the spirit, supernatural things happen, like the Ananias being woken by a dream and the angel of the Lord standing saying, Ananias, go to Straight Street. I want you to pray and anoint a man by the name of Saul. What's going on here? God is supernaturally waking up a man, telling him, I want you to go here to do something. It has everything to do with my end time purpose or what I'm about to do in the economy of heaven. So, Lord, don't you know that this guy Saul, he wants to kill all your Christians? Don't worry about that. He's a chosen vessel. So Ananias gets out of bed. He goes to Straight Street. He winds up doing what God told him to do. That realm exists right here, right now, saints. That realm exists. The energy of God, the inspiration of God, the anointing of God. God is wanting to not only pour out dreams and visions and prophesying, he wants to pour his spirit into the cups that are clean. Remember what Jesus said? Don't worry about cleaning the outside of your cup. Get the inside of your cup cleaned up. Don't worry about the outside platter. Get the inside cleaned up, because there is a place, a reservoir in your heart, in my heart, that God wants to pour into. That's what I know. I just simply know that's true. I know that's true. God has something for us. He has something. You have to be determined, and that's all there is to it. It's being determined right now to walk in the Spirit, to being determined right now to honor God, pick up your cross, love the Lord, shout his glory. See, I believe God's going, come on, I want to rev things up right now, church. See, I believe that God's moving like the cloud by day and the fire by night. When Yeshua was walking by, the two blind men said, stop, Jesus, Son of God, have mercy on us. And he kept on going, and the people were saying, hey, be quiet. And they started shouting even louder. Jesus was moving. He was moving on, and these guys got caught into his flow because they wouldn't let him go, okay? So they shouted him, they got healed, and they went on in life. Right now, the Lord is saying, I'm moving. I know the devil's moving. I know the Antichrist is moving. I know the world is moving. I know the powers of darkness are moving. I know all that's going on, but I'm moving right now. And I'm walking through the earth, and I'm looking for people that will come and follow me. I'm looking for people that will abandon their fishing nets once again. I'm looking for the Lydias, the sellers of purple. I'm looking for a people in the earth that will come after me right now, because I've got a plan. I've got a work. And what I have done, I have promised that you will do the double portion. I have promised that you will do the greater works. And I'm looking into this generation right now. And I'm ready to do something in the life of those that will really abandon religion in the negative sense of what it means, structure, organization. And I'm looking for people that are willing to follow me organically, get connected to my spirit, know who I am as the Messiah, Yeshua. My God, he's calling us to that. Don't you want to go? Don't you want to go on the journey? Or are you going to be one of those that are kind of, I feel safe here in Europe. Who is this Christopher Columbus that wants to travel? Doesn't he know that he's going to fall off the earth if he goes out there? Who is this? Why is this? Are you a pioneer? Do you have a pioneering spirit? Are you just a settler? Well, listen, the settler, the Indians are coming on the prairie. And man, all you're going to do is wind up living in protecting your house, and they're going to burn it down. Believe me, it's going to happen. But if you're moving on with the Lord, he's going to guide you like a shepherd into the valleys of the shadow of death. But he's going to prepare a table. He's going to guide you into the high mountains and the grazing fields of his divine abundance. How do you want to live your life right now? Play it safe, be a settler, and hope for the best? Or do you want to go on with the Lord Jesus, because he's moving, and I just feel his excitement. I feel like the Lord Jesus is putting on his commando outfit. I believe he's putting on his boots, if you will. He's putting on his sword. He's getting ready to mount his horse. I don't know how to explain it. I just know that he's got this intensity about him saying, I am moving right now. And he's inviting, you want to come? Let's go. Let's go. How do you put that into everyday life? I mean, how do you do that? How do you do that? I feel like, man, he just wants to pull the rug out of some people's lives and just flip tables over. And I think he wants to look people in the face and in the eye that have been harassing him and harassing his people. And I think the fire in his eyes wants to deal with some issues. I really do feel the divine energy of Jesus Christ in a resurrection, that he's not dead, he's alive. Our brother sang that last night, must have got my spirit. Our God's not dead. He's a roaring lion. And he wants to roar in you and roar in me and roar through us. Now listen, we're days away. We're 3 weeks away from this Feast of Tabernacles. Do you want to be involved in it? I pray to God that he'll send 300. That would be amazing to me if he did. That would be awesome. So anyways, okie dokie, where are we? 10:23. Hey folks, could you pray about something? It's been very quiet in the giving. We don't press it, as you know. We sure could use about 25 of you out there right now to bring a supply, a financial supply into this ministry. We have so much we're wanting to do. We need supply for the Feast of Tabernacles. We need supply. Would you be willing to bring some supply into the ministry? It's going to cover the cost of taking care of pastors that are coming, food, tents. The tent itself is about $1,000. We'll give you an exact amount on that. Would you be willing to supply the ministry to go to our website and to give on the Kindred Giving, would you be willing to just say, hey, this is for the Feast of Tabernacles, or this is for Omega Radio, this is for New Wine Ministry? The ministry would receive an offering from you. That would be awesome. If you want to supply it, it's okay. God will supply it. He will. I know that. But the ministry here is doing its work. I want to say thank you to those of you that do supply the ministry. We were just supplied with a brand new Dell game computer. It was $1,234. And we received that. And I was up last night very, very late talking with people that helped us build Omega Radio to make sure that when we start traveling, and I'm hoping one day we're going to wind up in Virginia. I hope we're going to wind up in different parts of the country where we can come and minister the word of God with our friends that are out there. We have a vision to do that beyond the Feast of Tabernacles while there's light. But we have this computer now that I've got Blog Talk on it. I've got StreamYard on it. I can broadcast on YouTube and Facebook. So we're getting that work done. We're preparing. We're finishing up projects. We're getting the land ready for what's going to happen in the Feast of Tabernacles. New Wine Ministry is hosting it. They're excited about it. And we're just moving. And even if you don't, or you're not able to bring a supply, pray to God. Are you one of those 300? I guess God will do the selecting ultimately. But put it on your calendar. Focus. I think it's strategic. I really believe it's strategic. So having said that, somebody, what is this all about here? I want to see what this is. Gayla Lawrence is saying, just received a packet from a messianic ministry and their theme for the feast is freedom from accusation. Well, isn't that amazing? That's exactly what God has been saying here. confirmation that the Lord wants to remove the reproach. Amen. I totally agree with that. I totally, totally agree with that. He's going to do it. Praying, all you need will come. Thank you, Stephanie Piazza. Thank you. Appreciate that. Let's go through our hellos this morning for everybody out there in Facebook and YouTube. Saying good morning to Sharon Evans and Carol Carey. God bless you both. Ian Rude, Donna Frazier, good morning to all of you. Ian had wrote earlier, now it shall come to pass if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God to observe carefully all his commandments, which I command you today. And he's given us some Torah today, hasn't he? That the Lord your God will set you high above all nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Blessed shall you be in the city. Blessed shall you be in the country. Blessed shall you be in the fruit of your body, the produce of your ground, and the increase. Wow, that's awesome. Thank you for sharing that, Ruud. Sonia says good morning to everybody today. Melissa Fletcher, good morning to everybody. Brenda Torville, good morning. David Ellison, good morning. Keith Carey, good morning, Pastor. Blessings to you. Thank you for the blessing, Keith. Cindy, good morning to my sister Cindy. Keith says we all should pray in the spirit just after the broadcast for 5 minutes. So what Keith was saying, when Pastor Jeff Bass was sharing his dream about an assassination, he said we need to pray. Pray for the president. I totally agree. Sonia said, Prophet Tracy Cook said there will be two more assassination attempts. And that's powerful right there. Sonia went on to say, having said that, Kim Bowling, hello family. Kim from Colorado, hopefully we're going to see you for Tabernacles and Lorraine and the rest of the friends in Colorado. God bless you. Dennis Sossaman. He says, numbers and dreams have been common in their household, and I believe that's true. Kevin Hauger says, good morning. Lomo Duplessis, again, was crying out for some help. Keith Carey said, the Franklin Graham March with Ann Graham Lotz is coming September 20th, 40 days before the election. So there's a gathering together in D.C. on September 26th, which seems to be coming right before the left is going to be gathering together. Sonia said, Rabbi Jonathan Kahn recently said, America is following a pattern like Israel, and we are now entering God's judgment. We must repent and pray and prepare. We agree with that. And Sonia also said, the return gathering is in D.C. on September 26th. All right. Melissa Fletcher says, I agree with getting the word of God down deep within us. I had a dream 3 days ago about the devil shooting at me and my daughter with a handgun. and the bullets that were aimed at us were absorbed into the Holy Bible, came our shield. Praise God. What a dream. That's amazing. Carol Carey says, Pastor Jeff, that is exactly what happened with the people building the Tower of Babel. They were united and believed nothing would stop them from reaching heaven. And that's exactly what the New World Order is doing right now under the inspiration of Satan, Lucifer. They're building their one world government. It's going to happen. But the truth is, God wants to do some things through a unified body of Christ. Totally believe that. Carol Carey says, God divided them and changes their language. Just saying, something to ponder. I agree. Well, eventually it's going to fail. All right, Melissa says, praying for South Africa from South Dakota. All right, thank you, Melissa, for praying for Lomo Duplessis, who is saying that there were some terrible things going on in South Africa right now. That's really a terrible thing. Listen to this report. We're going to have to search that out a little bit further. Sonia said, God is calling his people. A popular Muslim sheikh took to YouTube recently, burned his library of Islamic books, and is now a believer in Yeshua. God bless that man. Boy, would we love to talk with him and have him share his testimony, why he did such a dangerous thing, but he did something that's going to produce eternal life. Oh, God bless you, sir, whoever you are. Keith Carey said, wow, awesome to be rebirthed from a Muslim walk. I agree. I learned from hello from some in my register line. Shalom alaikum. I don't know what that means, but Keith, you do. You have to explain it. Sonia says, I believe a huge harvest is coming. It's begun. We agree. Let's hope so. And I believe it's a harvest of the fruit of the Holy Spirit in God's people also. Let's never forget that. That's what the Feast of Ingathering is all about. This is God's harvesting of a people who have become more like his firstborn son, a new species of mankind on the earth. Kevin Hauger says, if we are following after Israel, when they sinned against God, he gave them over to their enemies. We believe that. All right, Sonia says, have you all seen the Catholic priest publicly chastising Catholics regarding their support for Democrats? He tells them to stop pretending to be Catholic as they will be burned in the fires of hell. Way to go, Mr. Catholic priest. Loving that. Brenda says, yes. Keith Carey says, praying in the spirit reunites all languages in earth. That's true. Did you know, I believe that when we start praying in tongues, man, that's a more sophisticated language than any other language on the face of the earth. I was thinking about that this morning, praying in tongues. Hallelujah. All right. Truly amazing times we're living in, says Sonia. And then Carol says, pray Pentecostal churches will teach the end times and Revelation to warn and prepare the people. The AG, which is Assemblies of God denomination, teaches a preacher of rapture. That's so sad. It could get more exciting than that. All right. Sonia says, there is a mass exodus from California and New York. Some people are seeing the writing on the wall. Praise God, they're seeing it. And then we have Alabest Ika Opayami says, Cindy Tesk Delek 103 on Instagram, something about helping people raise funds. Keith says, amen, amen, amen. San Francisco, Los Angeles, the modern day two cities. What is happening in New York? Yeah, talking about the fires burning the two cities on the West Coast that are burning. Kevin Hauger said, in my job, I have seen many people moving here in Northwest Arkansas from Colorado, Arizona, California. I've just heard of some from Washington State searching for homes here. Yeah, there is an exodus. Sonia says many Manhattan high-rise condos are empty, according to what I read. I believe that's probably true. She also said Texas is being flooded by people from California. Yep, they're coming. They're coming. Kevin says some people from Austin, Texas, and other cities may be moving since the city councils have eliminated funding for police. Those people there really need to find Jesus and the fullness of him. Amen to that. Carol Carey says so many denominations teaching private interpretations. How can the body of Christ be one mind when body and one spirit? Can't under those circumstances, can you? Kevin Hauger says, false teachers as foretold by God. Carol says, 1 Corinthians 1:10. My wife's favorite verse, by the way, Carol, is 1 Corinthians 1:10, which says that you be united in the same mind and the same judgment, that you might be perfectly joined together. That's what the word says. And there be no divisions among you, but that you be united in the same mind and the same judgment. That's powerful. G. Lawrence says, I am in prayer myself to leave New York. I'm considering North Carolina or Virginia, somewhere south. That's about all I know for sure. Well, may God direct your path as you're praying. May the Holy Spirit bring revelation to your heart, Sister Lawrence. Sonia says, Carol, pray for discernment. He will bring his remnant together into one accord in the highest time. Hey, Gayla, maybe you should come to Northwest Arkansas for the Feast of Tabernacles. Maybe God will give a special download. Maybe. Strategy. Only God knows. All right. Sonia says, amen. Praise the Lord. He has awakened us up. He loves us so much. Let's work while it's day and wake up our brethren. Amen. Praise God. All right. So Sonia says another sobering thing. They're going door to door killing Christians in Afghanistan. Can you imagine? It's been happening for a long time. Praying for you and your family. Stephanie, yes. Amen. America under judgment. So sad, but true. It's sad, but it's true. It is true. Nigeria, says Sonia, has almost genocide levels of Christians being killed. Another true reality. Donna Frazier saying, G. Lawrence, come to East Texas. We love you and believe in our believers here. Hey, see, the saints are contending for the harvest. And I know the Gala is already born again. It's the gathering place. Being in the right place at the right time, doing the right thing with the right people right now, that's where you want to be. No doubt about it. All right. So prayers are going up from Brenda Torville. Sonia says, American Christians still think it will not happen here. Think again, saints. Is the servant greater than the master? Well said. Kevin Hauger says, I have had the thoughts trying to discern from the spirit that California continues to burn because of the state's line against God. Not by floods, but by fire is how God will destroy evil people. Stephanie Piazzi says, yes, dreams, many, one particular, stuck with me constantly in my waking hours. Fire in the dream. Cindy says, you need to share your dream. All right. So we need to do this. So the number to call, by the way, Cindy was asking a while ago, what is the number to call in? It's 818-369-0326. I think Cindy's trying to communicate with me, telling me, Pastor, you need to put the number on the screen. I'll do it tomorrow. Okay? Very good. Now, so Brenda, if you're out there, or Melissa, if you have that dream, Stephanie, you have that dream, you want to share it? I'm willing to take it. We could do it tomorrow. We could do it today. Either way. Kevin, even good people in Noah's day were also destroyed in the flood. Wow. Are you? We prepared within to take, make ourselves right with God, get rid of all the iniquities and sins and be purified by Jesus. You know, that is the truth. A pure heart before God. Nothing else matters. I totally agree. Keith Carey says, amen, Kevin and Sonia. Our praise is a weapon of warfare and our praise shall continually be in our mouth. Psalm 34, to keep confessing the dregs as the Holy Spirit brings to the surface. Donna Frazier says, my kids in Eugene, Oregon, are being told to soon evacuate from fires. Fires are happening in these key rebellious areas. So many liberals there, but we have awesome Christ followers standing up as well. All right, Donna, we need to pray for your friends. There's a lot of amening going on as well. And then we're finally getting to the end where we're hearing the information press forward. What a time to be living. There, you know, there's hallelujahs going on. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. And then the final one we have today. Oh, there's a lot more. Wow. We started with that. Shirley Woolsey has joined us, and she's saying, praying for an awakening and cleansing for myself and entire family, looking for a spirit-filled church home in Amarillo. Pray God sends us there. All right, Shirley, we will pray that God will direct you and your family to the right place at the right time, doing the right thing with the right people right now, and it will be a divine guiding. Maybe you should get to a Feast of Tabernacles where God is going to bring some impartation, just maybe. Pray about it. All right, so Stephanie says, we'll send some money, not a fortune, but I want to help. Stephanie, thank you for that. Thank you for sending a donation to this ministry. God bless you. Stephanie also went on to say, in my dream, I was looking across a street at a house at the end of a very long driveway lined with cypress in either side. The beauty was so strong, but then as the house started on fire and kept burning. Oh, my gosh. Sounds again like Sodom and Gomorrah, does it not? Wow. All right. All right. All right. So hellos and yeses. And Sean Woodson finally got on the air saying hello. Hello, Sean. Brace yourselves, everyone. Yes, that's the word. No doubt. Brace. Keith Carey went on to say, what if we had a Zoom meeting sometime to include 15 slots of us? Let's do it. I'm into it. Sonia was going to actually show me how to do that. We've been so busy, I haven't had a chance, but we'll get there. Let's do it. And then Danny's calling me. It's Danny from Atlanta. Got to get Danny out of Atlanta, by the way. Watch and pray. And then finally, behold, I come quickly. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. All right, folks, that's it. I think we've got it out there. Your comments. Thank you. I want to just show this to you real quick. If you are interested in giving an offering, you could go right there. If you're on the screen, nwmglobal.org under the donations tab. There's also a Kindred thing you could do. And I have to get more of that information out to how to do it online. And let me see if I could bring that out there. But if you just go to this address, nwmglobal.org under the donations tab, if everybody will pitch in a little bit, it'll just help us supply. We're not talking about tabernacle offerings or anything, just some help. And I know that if you do, you're touching what belongs to God. I think he might just bless the daylights out of you, okay? In you. I'm Vincent Xavier. We've got to go. I'll see you tomorrow, Lord willing, right here, 9 o'clock. It'll be our Friday time together. Thanks for tuning in, folks. Keep your head in the heavens. Keep watching. All over this earth, the signs of the times. And we keep hearing all day today, come quickly, Lord Jesus, the Spirit and the Bride, come quickly. We don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. Live today in the abundance. Come into agreement like Hannah when Eli said, you're going to have what you've been praying for this time next year. He had no idea, but she got it by faith. May your faith receive what God has been saying in your life to bring you to a full and complete deliverance. Let's see it happen and taste it and experience it together. I believe we're going to have an amazing time from October 2nd to the 9th. We're going to show up and we'll let God do what God wants to do. Thanks for praying for us in our preparations. And shalom to you. September 18th, the Feast of Rosh Hashanah, the Feast of Trumpets. What I remember about the Feast of Trumpets is when those trumpets blast on September 18th, we enter into what is known as the 10 Days of Awe, which is examination, introspection. And whatever God shows you, believe me, he's ready to roll it away through the atoning blood, which shows up on the 10th day of the 7th month in the day of Yom Kippur or the Day of Atonement. Folks, he's going to do it. And then in the 4 days after that, there's excitement of getting ready for the greatest feast to ever hit the face of the earth that people will be celebrating during the millennial reign, according to Zechariah 14. Wow. And we're in rehearsal. Father God, bless your people. Bless your people. We're all in, Lord. We're all in. Right now on omegaradio.org, there is a roundtable discussion with Patricia Joy Xavier, who wrote a book called Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights. Patricia is my lovely wife. She's awesome in every way. You might want to tune in right now if you have extra time. Omega Radio, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. God bless everybody. We'll see you tomorrow.